Well, hello, my name is Ann Martino, and I am here in the AADL podcast studio with Ms. Amanda Schott, who has a Tuesday morning story time at Traverwood branch of the Ann Arbor District Library. You may have seen her there. She is awesome, and she's going to talk with us today about storytelling. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Ann. This is so fun.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I think it's very helpful for those of us who are learning storytelling to hear from people at the library about how they do it. So let's start with the question of whether your grown-ups read or told you stories when you were small. Did they?
Honestly, I don't really remember being read stories or told stories as the sort of bedtime story situation that I have done with my nieces and nephews and children I babysat. I don't remember me being the person being read or told stories, but I know that I love to read books and tell stories. I remember reading books with my siblings together. But in general, my mom is a big storyteller. Both my grandmas were big storytellers in the sense of reiterating and telling stories of their lives and things that they did when they were younger, things that me and my brother and my sisters did when we were younger. So, and my mom has a very good memory. She remembers everything to detail, and I am the same way. So I'm really glad I picked that up from her. One of my grandmas, one thing I do remember being told a story was my dad's mom, my grandma. I would do sleepovers at her house every once in a while, and I would get to sleep with her in her big giant bed with the window open, with the traffic whizzing by. You can hear it through the window with her cold breeze, even in the winter. And she would tell this story about this duck. And I don't remember much about the story or the duck. I just remember the feeling of being in her bed and having her tell me this story about the duck's adventures. And she had this great voice she did for the duck, like, me, 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 me. I can't even do it. But I just have this feeling of this comfort level of this duck and this story. So that's the relating to the storytelling that I do through story times at the library. That's the biggest example I can think of like a made up story that went over time. So it was pretty magical to have that memory, my grandma telling stories.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love hearing that. Well, so as you came to the library and became interested in storytelling, and now you're doing it, what role do felt boards and other visuals play in your story times?
Well, I've been doing stories at the library for a little over a year, and I do rely on creating felts. I love making felt boards and flannel boards. I'm a crafter, so I love the act of sitting in my office and cutting up felt and glue and making these really cool visuals that I can take to a story. One, it's a great visual element for the children and the parents in the audience to look at. And as a storyteller, it helps you tell the story. You don't have to remember every word in the story or the book that you may have adapted, because the felts can help you tell the story. Also, puppets are a great way to tell the story. If you have a story with five animals who do different things and you can't remember the order, you've got your bag of puppets. You can put them on the board, and it helps you go along the story. They're also really fun. It's a great way to break it up and just to bust out a puppet and have it do a crazy voice. And the kids just think it's a riot, and I like being silly, so that works. So I do love using felts and props. Often when I go to story time, I travel from the branch that I work at, so I have all my story lady bags. And the kids have this look in their eye like, what is she going to take out of her bag next? Is it a rhinoceros? Is it a dinosaur? So it's kind of fun. So I like having my bag of tricks, definitely, rather than just telling the story. Perhaps more seasoned storytellers are more comfortable telling the story by knowing it by heart. Some stories I can do that with, but I like using the props and the felts just as the visual for the audience to
And you make use. Those. You
yeah.
You make puppets. You make felt pieces.
Yes.
Oh.
I mean, the library has a stock of ones we use and share, but it's nice having new stories that you can whip up a quick felt for and use that. And you can use it over and over. Like if you tell a story about fall leaves, it's not a one-stop story. You can use it again later on because our audience is at the library. They grow up. So you get new siblings and new kids, like, you know, every year or so.
Okay. What currently are some of your favorite stories, Miss Amanda?
That is probably the hardest question you're going to ask me because I don't have a favorite story. I kind of go in phases. I'll find a story on the new bookshelf downstairs, and I just think it's the best book ever, and I really want to adapt it and tell it to a story for the preschool story times. And it's so great, and I love telling it, and it's the best story ever, until I find the next story that becomes the new next best story ever. So it's really fun finding books you get attached to, and it's really fun sharing them with other storytellers and having other storytellers tell you about this new great book they found that would make a great story. The thing with books and stories is there's a difference between them. There's a really good book. There's a really good story. Sometimes a book is just a book. It has to be read. It's harder to adapt for a story. Other books are easier to adapt for a story time and easier to find puppets to go with the story. And as a preschool time storyteller, it's really great finding a book that's easily adaptable. But if you can't, you can still enjoy the book because of the illustrations or the photographs. So it's a very hard question what my favorite stories are. Right now, I'm really into trickster tales. Like, I've been doing some Anansi stories, Anansi and the Talking Melon, The Moss-Covered Rock. I've been doing Coyote's Blanket. There's a new one called Foxy with an exclamation point. I'm going to tell it a story time soon. That's a classic trickster tale. Then there's new books like all the Pete the Cat stories. I love those. Kids love those. The Mo Willems, the Pigeon Driving the Bus and Eating a Hot Dog, best stories. There are sillier ones. Soup for One. There's one called Bark George. I tend to like silly stories that make kids laugh. I recently did another one. It's an older one from the 70s. It might be older than me. It's called The Big Orange Splat with these tiny, colorful felt pieces that Rachel made that I got to borrow and use. And the book itself has great illustrations. So I kind of go in waves of what I like to tell. It's also, I tend to pull stories that fit into different themes. So if I find a book I really like, I might have to hold on to it for a while until I find something for it to go with.
So are you pretty much cruising the news section of the youth books and the story shelf and the shelves at the downtown library and the branches? Are you pretty much keeping your eye out for books that you can use at story time?
I do keep an eye out. I love going to the new bookshelf at any location and seeing what's new, pulling out the picture books. Sometimes I like them because they're beautiful illustrations. Sometimes it's because they can adapt it to a good story. I like to write blogs about picture books for the website, so that's another thing I do is to find good picture books for that purpose. And then I check a billion of them out, and they sit in my office until I'm ready to use them for story time. So I definitely collect books all year round for various themes and what I can put them into. It's a great resource, just having the new bookshelf there.
I read your blogs, Amanda. I like your blogs. And I'm happy that you mention what you use at story time, because I think a lot of parents probably don't write it down as they're listening. They're listening and they're saying, oh, I want to check out that book about the cat. And they can't exactly remember what that book is. But they can go to the website and look for the blog, and sometimes it'll be there. It's really nice. It's really,
if there's a book that have done a blog post for the website that I have done for story, I try to say, oh, Miss Amanda's done this for story time, because it gives it this extra nod of approval. Like, oh, it's good for story time. I just check it out. So I think some, you know, grown-ups might view it as that point of view. And that's kind of why I like to say, Miss Amanda did it for story time.
Whoa, and maybe some teachers as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Material for the classroom.
And they'll know what kind of audience it goes for, that you know you can read it out loud to a larger group of children and grown-ups, and that it works. So,
what do you hope kids and caregivers take home from your story times?
Well, I hope that they find the story time, their visits to the library for the story time, a break from their day, a break from their week, to go and sit down crisscross applesauce and listen to really fun stories, listen to fun songs, dance around, be silly. I know for grown-ups, it's a great way for them to mingle with other grown-ups, to meet each other, kind of compare, you know, where their kids are at and what they're doing, and oh, this is great. It's also fun just to be an entertainment in their day, where the parents are up dancing and singing and being silly. And the kids enjoy it as well, and it's great seeing the smiles on their faces. It's also great seeing the same faces each week, so you end up being part of the routine of the family's week, which I think is pretty awesome. So,
how would you describe your storytelling style?
Very high energy, very silly. I like to joke around and be goofy. I will tell the families that during my story time. When other people ask me, I'll say, I'm such a spaz, I'm so silly. That's just me, my personality. So I'm glad to be able to put that into my stories, and especially working with kids. I think kids kind of, they think it's fun. Some kids kind of gave me the look like, whoa, she's really silly. But that's me.
I love that.
See, I come from a teaching background. So having taught preschool for many years, I bring that experience with me. So essentially, when I started doing stories for the library, I kind of took the circle time, quote unquote, that I would do in a classroom, and I had to adapt it to doing a story time, because a story time is in the library is very different than doing a circle time sitting like in a classroom in a school. You don't do calendar, you don't do weather, but you're still reading stories and you might be talking about a theme. So when I was newer, I loved having that background because I already knew how to work with the preschool audience or even the baby audience. I knew their levels, their range, what they could soak in, not soak in, how long they can sit and not sit still. So I like being able to incorporate that background into what I do at the library, definitely.
So is one of those more difficult than the other, the circle time or the story time at the library, or is it just something that you've adapted to?
They're definitely different. The library here at the Ann Arbor District Library, we get large crowds for some of the story times, so that definitely gauges what you tell and how you tell it. Whereas for school, it's a smaller group, but you're more in charge of the behaviors of telling, you know, Tommy, sit still, or Tommy, don't tie your shoe right now. When you're telling the story, you're more in the moment of being the active storyteller because there are other grown-ups in the room who can take care of, like, Tommy needs to tie his shoe or so-and-so needs to go to the bathroom. Whereas if I'm in a circle time or in a school setting, it's me telling the story. It's me being stopped, interrupted, and telling, okay, go ahead, go to the bathroom, or don't tie your shoe right now. So it's definitely a difference. So I've kind of had to marry the two into kind of finding my own way of doing things here.
So. Probably should know this, but are you doing stories in preschools or schools now? Are you going out telling stories?
Not for things that are not associated with the library. I've done the preschool and baby playgroup story times here at the Ann Arbor District Library. And then as far as telling stories elsewhere, I've only gone to local places where the library has assigned me to go. Like I went to Gretchen's Prehouse before, Gretchen's Preschool before, and a few other places, just telling stories and talking about the library. More like outreach that the library does. So I don't include storyteller as one of my job titles that I go out and do independently, not for library work. So I'm not quite there yet.
That's next year, right?
Maybe.
Maybe. What advice, tips, or tricks might you give us, Miss Amanda, for people who are working on being storytellers? What advice do you have for wannabes?
Wannabes is you have to want to do it. At the library, it's a hard job to do because you do have to entertain them and make it flow and work. You also need to think about the age level of the group you're doing. You can't just sit in a chair and read three stories back to back and have that be, you know, hello, goodbye. They don't sit for that. You need to ramp it up. You need to do songs. You need to get them up in the middle of it, move around, pick stories that have some interaction where the kids can kind of guess what's coming next. It keeps them focused on you, what you're doing, and they are able to follow the story better. Younger kids can't sit as long. If you want to sit them for a 30-minute story time, that's a long time for a 3-year-old to sit down. It's very hard. For the babies, they can't sit. So you need to think about the audience, what they could handle. If they're being really squiggly that day, cut it a little bit shorter. Don't do the third story. If your time is running short, don't read a fourth story. Get up and do another dance song. Don't be afraid to just do some extra songs. I also like mixing it up not only with songs and telling stories, as I do a variety of stories where I will do a story with props. I always try to read a book, just sit down and read a book in front of them, one I think that they would like that has pictures big enough for them to see. I also like adding some rhymes in there, talking about some literacy elements like ABCs or, oh, this one rhymes, or this letter starts with this, kind of combining literacy elements.
You've touched on this, but I'm curious what role music plays in your story times. Can you expand on that a little bit? Is it do you match it with stories, or do you just sort of do songs that the musician is familiar with? Or?
For me, it's kind of a combination. The musicians that we have for the story times at the library, they have their own repertoire. Some, if you're when they come in the morning, you say, "Oh, we're doing food stories today," and they're like, "Oh, great, we'll do this song. We'll do I like to eat apples and bananas," and I say, "Great, that's perfect." Other times we don't do any songs related to the theme. Like if I'm doing fall stories, I'm reading stories about pumpkins and fall weather, there might not be songs for those. Sometimes I'll try to find a rhyme, or if I think of a good song that does match the theme, I'll check with the storyteller at the beginning, "Oh, we're doing this today. We're doing a theme on transportation. Can we do Wheels on the Bus?" I put in a request, I call it. Or some days I go in and I tell my musician, "Bo, I have no requests. Do whatever you want." I also like repeating a couple of the songs, like opening with the same song or doing songs that the kids know, which they think is fun because then they become less inhibited and they join you and their voices get louder singing a song that they know. So I think music is a huge part of it. And this library we're particularly lucky because we do have musicians who do come with us. And I've done story times without the musicians with their guitars and their banjos being super fabulous. It's harder. It takes a lot more energy to be, the singer and the storyteller. But it doesn't stop me. Of course, I'm going to still do lots of songs, whether the guitar is there or not.
Well, thank you so much, Miss Amanda. We've covered so much. If there's something you'd like to add, please feel free. Otherwise, just a huge thank you for sharing what you know about telling stories at the library. This has been wonderful.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been great to sit and talk about stories. When I am down in my office and other storytellers are heading off to a branch to do a story time, I always like to say, "Have a good story." Because that way they'll have a good story time. But I also think it applies to larger to life. Like, have a great story. Because having a great story means it will be told again later. So, and have a great story.
Well, thank you, Amanda. You have a great story, too.
Thank you.
To learn more about AADL Storytellers, visit jump.aadl.org. Music for this episode was "This Place" by Connor Thewitt. AADL Talks to Its Storytellers is a production of the Ann Arbor District Library.